I want to just share the word that we got from Kenesha, you know, from the Lord through Kenesha. I just want you to have an idea where we're headed. And none of what she shared was surprising. This is something, it was confirmation all around on almost every area. If you've been here a while, you'll start going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. They don't know us at all. Never been here, never met us. And so all that they shared was such a powerful testimony of, you know, to us, of confirmation. It goes, vision of this place is being a place of unusual miracles, jewels falling from heaven, limbs growing and the dead walking. You are stepping into a season where you will be overtaken by the power of God. The moment people walk in, the weight of the glory will hit them. They will begin to weep and lay prostrate before him, even before worship starts. God wants me to let you know that you will set the atmosphere for his presence to be demonstrated for in this house for signs, wonders, and miracles. And I instantly also thought of all the stuff Stephanie's trying to create in a hospitality culture of this welcoming of people in and just welcoming them with the heart of God. I heard the Lord say there's going to be more churches, more church plants from this house. I even heard in the state of California, I'm sending you to California for a church plant there and even multiple church plants. I have to send you from coast to coast because what is happening here has to be heard from place to place. So God, we bless them as a leadership team. It's time to tap into the old wells. I'm going to send you back to the old wells of the beginning, and you will begin to dig up the wells and you'll find gold. You're tapping into gold. I'm digging up old wells. You are strengthening them, Lord. The Lord says, well done. Thank you for not quitting. Thank you for not giving up. Even the last 5 years in your heart when you questioned, is this not over? I have more. And folks, this is totally true. The whole COVID time and before that with our flood experience, we've been in about 5 years of pretty hellish leadership. We've been experiencing goodness, increase, fruit, but I'll tell you, it's been the most challenging season of my life. And I certainly have said in my heart, is this like, really? God is about to send you this place to the nations. Hundreds of church plants in Africa. You will own hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres of land throughout the world. God is sending you. God is sending you. God is sending you. You have raised up an army. I am bringing in more women. I am bringing in more men. And you are going to be training them in deliverance. You will train them in how to set the captives free. You are walking in Isaiah. Thank you. You are called to set the captives free. Then one of the other gentlemen on the team said, what preceded the moves of God? How do we see the God of the Bible? Kenesha said these three words, God's not dead. The scripture that came to me was Luke 24:5-7. Why do you look for living among the dead? What precedes the moves of God is the willingness to do unconventional things. Because you are unconventional and because you don't fit in one box, I'm sending a wave of glory. Things are going to be turned upside down. Don't set your eyes too low. The 100 acres, I'm expanding it. You will have authority within a 300-mile radius. You will control the political atmosphere. You will control all the 7 mountains. Folks, listen, they knew nothing about the whole series we spent for months on that. I'm telling you guys, we have been tracking with the heart and the Spirit of God for years. For years, we have a prophetic thing on this church. We are following after God. It's such a confirmation. You will have to have a say-so in what happens in this region because you are willing to be unconventional no matter what they say. I watched people walk out of the service. I watched people. And God said this wasn't the first time. God said, and Youthstorm is about to take the nations. Not only do I see church plants, but I see you raising up youth ministers and youth pastors going into California, which is 97% unchurched. I don't know about that stat really, but that's what they said. And I see you taking the youth by storm. I see you taking the youth by storm. It's inside of you, and as you watch, I want you to praise God every Sunday. As you go up in the Spirit, your congregation will go up in the Spirit. I heard the Lord say, reminding you, Stephanie, of what you wrote in your journal years ago. There are things you have written that you have not yet seen to come. Now is the time. The Lord brought me to Ezekiel 37 and said, prophesy to the dry bones. Bring the breath of life into those dry bones. You've already done it because you have already done it. It ends by saying, in Ezekiel 37, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live and I will place you in your own land. And there you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will perform it. For he is about to perform that which he has already spoken. I blow the wind of refreshing over them. A fresh wind is coming with fresh fire 3 times. I see a training school coming from this place, like a discipleship ministry school. They will come and they will learn and they will grow. Said that twice. I see you as my Bethel in this area. This would be my dwelling place, and they would smell the smoke of fire when they get there. Really feel that's all of the past, the ways that people have sacrificed and burned. You know, that is going to be in the air, this place of sacrifice and burning. And, you know, I want to encourage those of you who are interns this year that you have committed to a process that's laying a memorial stone before the Lord for what he is birthing in the Spirit through this whole thing. You've been forerunners, first fruits. And I believe this next internship is going to be a powerful one. And I'm so glad that even older people are considering taking it. How old are you, Eric? Five, two, 52, 5, 70, 70? 57. Hip, hip, hooray, Eric. It's begun. Telling you, he's a pioneer. He's like, I'm doing this. You've seen it, now you're going to walk in it. It's growing, it's growing, it's growing, and you can handle it. The Lord says, I need more seats. I need more seats because I'm about to fill them. This building right here is too small. I need more seats because I'm about to fill them. You've tried to shift because you felt like things were working, but the Lord said, whatever you did in the past, I'm putting fire on that thing, and you will see it manifest even greater than you did in days of old. So if you see things resurface that we've done in the past, get ready because the fire is going to hit them, and they're going to multiply and cause fruit. So don't judge a book by its cover, folks. And lastly, I hear the Lord saying, thank you. I will bring this place to a place of honor and reverence for you guys as his leaders. He says, thank you. Thank you for not giving up. Even when people try to leave and walk away, thank you for staying faithful. I will bring double for your trouble, says God. I see oil pouring down like it did on Aaron's brow. I will anoint you for even greater cause, for greater works that you've ever done in your lifetime. You have more, I have more, and you can handle the more. We command your stakes to be enlarged in Jesus' name. I mean, literally, she just like literally heard from the Lord and read every message we've preached for years. Like, really, these are all very accurate, pointed parts of this thing for someone who doesn't even know us. This is kind of exciting. I heard the Lord saying, Sean, you're going to operate in prophecy in a whole new level, that as people walk in with faces you don't know, you'll call them out by name. They'll be shocked because they need to see a demonstration of the glory of God. And you will begin to prophesy into their future, and you will begin to get words of knowledge about things that happened when they were a kid, dates and times. You will begin to prophesy to them before they hit their seat. That will be the transformation that takes place in this area, for the spirit of prophecy is arising in this house, in this area, in this time, and you will begin to manifest it in a greater level. You've been praying for it, which is the absolute truth. I have been praying for this, for acute words of knowledge, revelations from God's heart that no one could know except for God. And believe me, well, I'm not going to jump ahead. If you're sticking with me here, you will begin to prophesy with accuracy, boldness, and precision. Fresh wind, everything, just everyone blow on him, fresh wind. And I'm telling you, I felt such a powerful impartation of his presence at that point when she said that. Just people were going like this, and I was like, oh, the presence of God just was like, you are not alone. God's bringing Josiahs to hold up your arms during the season. Stick with me. I know it's going late, but I got to share this word because it fits in with everything that the Lord is saying And I'm going to try to just truncate, be concise, but, you know, we've been talking. I talked 4 weeks ago about the Lord testing the church to see who will stand. There's been a demarcation, heaven's rumbling with justice and righteousness. The prayers of the saints have been heard. Bowls of intercession, or our prayers, are tipping, which in the scripture means the fulfillment of years and years and years of prayer is going to come to pass. There's a massive paradigm shift in order. I feel like this word that we received, a big shift of just the normal ways that things are done. And that's why we have to walk in communication. If you see something that bothers you, do not hold it inside. Do not say, I'm not going to cause problems. Come and share and say, I want you to help me understand what is happening here. Because we got to walk through this as a family. Because we're walking into uncharted territories in the sense, unknown God that's doing unknown things because he chooses to. And who are we to say, no, God, I don't like that way. Okay, so anyway, God's calling his church, his body, to rise up in truth, zeal, and courage, to stand firm, displace the enemy. Remember, it's not people. We're displacing principalities that are moving through vessels called people. We are not against Rex Norman or any town official. We are lifting them up in prayer, praying for God's blessing on their lives. But we stand against Satan and all his cohorts and all his principalities, and we say, you won't pass, we will prevail, we have the word of the Lord. And we step in and we press in. So 3 weeks ago, last time I preached, we talked about the burning bush. God interrupts normal life with his presence. And he chooses whatever he wants to capture people's attention. With Moses, he was walking through with his sheep and saw a bush burn. And he went, oh, how strange. A burning bush that doesn't get consumed. I think I'll step aside and look. Nothing spiritual. Just something strange. There's a big burning bush in our nation right now. A big one. Two, once he reveals who he is and his plan to bring people out of oppression and into a promised land, God's nature is one with his actions, faith with works. Three, he calls people to do his work as agents of deliverance because God chooses to partner with us. He chooses leaders to bring his people into a place. And then finally, promised land was full of enemies. Are we surprised that we are facing giants in this promised land? We are at the threshold. We do not want to be. And this is what I want you to take out of this. Talk about it in your life groups. Okay, what are the enemies that we're facing? Are we willing to stand against criticism and complaining that will turn 40 days into 40 years? This is what we need to ask ourselves. I'm talking to myself as well, because we're following God, and all of us have a chance to complain and grumble. Will we do it? Are we willing to do the same stupid mistake the Israelites did and turn a 40-day journey into a lifetime? When God's going to break oppression and rescue people, he calls people to rise up, a coming of his presence. This is part of revival. This is a call. Okay, so I want to look at, and we're going to just spin through Exodus 3 through 6, but we're not going to read it all, don't worry. I'm going to just, if you follow along in your Bible, and when you get home, you could go through this. We just don't have time. But the lessons I want you to see, and this is what I saw fresh this morning, because I know we, 3 weeks ago in the burning bush one, we went through a lot of Exodus 3, and we looked at his whole journey, seeing the burning bush, all of that. In 3:2, the angel appeared, there was a fire, a bush, I must turn aside. I just talked about that. We're going to go all the way down to verse 10. Moses' first response, after God said, you're going to go and you're going to lead people into freedom. You're going to stand up against injustice. What happens? Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Assuredly. And God keeps saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm doing this through you. And Moses continually, chapter 4, what if they don't believe me or listen to what I say? It keeps going. God keeps, you know, saying to him, like, I'm going to be with you. Don't you understand? I will make this happen. If you'll just obey me, let me use you. So then Moses said, after all this, after God is continually pleading, I am your God. I am he. I am he that I am. I am God. Let me use you. Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past. Constant excuses. Nor since you've spoken to your servant, for I am slow speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said, who has made the human mouth? Listen, folks, this is the word for the hour. And this can go vice versa. You can be one who's insecure and doesn't think you amount to much, so God can't use you like he wants to and what he's spoken to you. Or you can be arrogant because you're cloaking your insecurity and you just speak as though, I know, I'm great, I'm awesome, I can do this. And really, you're just a real loser that needs Jesus. That's the Sean paraphrase. The Lord all along is saying, whether you're proud or humble or insecure, he's saying, I made your mouth, I made your brain, I made your body. Wake up and acknowledge that I am superior to you. Who has made the human mouth, or what makes anyone able to speak, or deaf, or able to see, or be blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Then go, and I myself will be your mouth and instruct you what you are to say. But Moses responded, and I want you to see this. Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Verse 14, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And the Lord said, is there not your brother Aaron? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he's coming to meet you. He shall speak to the people for you, and he will be as your mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. Now, what was he saying? He's basically saying, Moses, I've had it with you. You're going to be God. You're going to play me on this earth, and you're going to have the staff and just throw things on the ground. Can you do that? And Aaron will be your prophet, and he will speak my mouthpiece. Basically, what he's saying is, all I want to do is partner with you, Moses, and all you have is excuses and unbelief and doubt. Would you just let me use you? I made that mouth of yours, but if you insist, Aaron will be the mouth. You just throw things down and pick them up, would you? Now, listen, this is funny when we listen to it, but how sad, and how many of you in this room have all the excuses and all the needs for answers that you don't have, and instead of saying, I am an idiot, Lord, here, you are so much greater, speak to me, because I don't get it. I'm really dense, stubborn, proud. Just speak to me. I need you to break into my reality. Help me understand, help me see, but whatever you do, I'll do it. See here. I'm just trying to go through all these verses here. So, anyway, they go speak to Pharaoh. And after they spoke to Pharaoh, he said, you know, God met him on a path. This is what a messed up individual Moses was. God told him to circumcise his son. And so he was going to, like, actually slay him. Because you disobeyed me, Moses. You're a real loser. And thank God for his wife. We need to listen to our wives. Sometimes. No, don't say hey, because listen, I'm telling you. Sometimes. Yeah, thank you, brother. I heard the Lord say, don't go there. Anyway, Moses' wife saved him, took the knife, circumcised their son, and the angel of the Lord spared him. But I want you to see that this is the same Moses This Moses was not this wonderful individual. It's someone God chose. And the whole way he tried to get out of the partnership. And then he messes up and disobeys God. So then he goes and speaks to Pharaoh. And what does the king say? He doesn't say, okay, I'm sorry. Now I want you to even think about this in light of the tent. I felt like there's a Lord speaking to me this morning and saying, Sean, this is exactly what I'm asking you to do. Are you going to be like Moses? Or are you going to go, yes, Lord, whatever you want? I mean, you don't think, I don't know who you think I am, but if you think I'm not human, there every day is a struggle to try to weigh out, what is the Lord saying? Did I hear from the Lord? Did I not? I'm convinced you never get to a place where there's not some residue of question and doubt. There is someone called Satan around. And all he does is constantly accuse you. You missed it, probably, you loser. You're a failure. You would never get it right. He's constantly beating you up. And then he uses all the people you love to beat you up as well. Right? Instead, the Pharaoh goes, Moses and Aaron, why do you let the people neglect their work? Get back to your labors. And then tells everybody, starts beating them, and tells everyone to make more bricks with less straw. And increases the quota. Because they say Moses is actually telling us you want to go sacrifice and not work. You're all lazy. Let the labor, he says, be heavier on the men and have them work at it so that they will pay no attention to false words. Pharaoh is saying Moses and Aaron's words are false. So then when the people go and say, why are you doing this to us? They say, oh, it's all Moses and Aaron, all of their false words. Verse 20, when they left Pharaoh's presence, they met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them. Hey, guys, how did it go? And they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you, because you've made us repulsive in Pharaoh's sight and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. You're our leaders, and you're getting us beat and torn down and loaded on with burdens. Bad leaders. Listen, there'll be plenty of opportunities to get offended and criticize me or any church leader here. Even if we do our best. Get your eyes on Jesus, folks. No one ever asked you to get them on us. None of us. None of us are here to be your superstars. We're here to do our best as gifts given to you by God, equipped with a supernatural call that we're all still trying to figure out and navigate for full efficiency. Get your eyes on Jesus. What is he saying to you? What is he doing? I can't even read my writing. But you know, one thing I've come to find out these hard years is that many, many people in the church do not know what God is doing. They're led by their own opinion. They're led by their own way. And they do not know the heart of God. They might know a personal love, but they're clueless what he is doing on the face of the earth. It is the truth. You know, and some of it's just immaturity, a lack of the ability to really know the heart of God. Maybe it's lack of establishing a scripture. Maybe it's lack of whatever. Maybe it's past stuff, whatever. This isn't for criticizing the church. It's to say that as leaders, we are willing to take it so that you can have a future and you can have hope and you can walk in establishment of God, his heart, and his word. So we're here. We're over that. We went through years where we were critical and disillusioned and the church sucks, you know, and complained to God. But those years are over. We're in a place where we realize, I mean, listen, I love the church. I love it like my children, like my grandchildren, watching them and seeing them stumble around. And like, I'm so excited with Sarah because she's like finally walking. Like, oh, no, not walking. She's like getting her legs ready. So she's standing now. And like, if you hold her hand, she just like walks like this and goes all over the place. She's getting really like stocky and like, I'm ready to rumble. Like, let me get to 2 years old. And that's what the church is. The church is, and I think many of the leaders here, we're not in it for any kind of accolades, whether you love us or hate us. We're here because of Jesus, and we're here because we're obeying him and want to see the church flourish. That's why we're here. You know, it's like, and I'm getting to a close here. I appreciate all you guys hanging in there. But, you know, it's kind of like sports, okay? In sports teams, the people that infuriate me, they don't really infuriate me. I have to say that. But I always laugh when people are sitting on their couch yelling at the, you idiots, really? You dropped that ball like that? And I always think, I can't escape it, is, wow, what a hypocrite you are. You couldn't even be on that field. You would be pulverized in 2 seconds, like dead under someone's foot, like an ant, right? And you're sitting here telling them how they ought to do it. We are such professional commentators, critiquers, whatever. And, you know, I want to say, like, if you're ready to critique something, perhaps you should try it first and then prove through experience that you can navigate and proficiently do something. Then go ahead and critique it. And then it probably won't be in a critique. It'll probably be like, hey, man, like, have you tried this? Like, maybe if you tried this way, you know, just kind of move your elbow back a further, a little bit more in the plane of the throw. And, you know, and then just keep your eyes like 20 yards ahead of where you want to hit. And usually that'll do it. Oh, man, thank you. Not someone who says, you got to throw this way. Really? Have you ever thrown a ball? Well, no. But this is what I heard. Well, I don't want to hear from you. So then, I want to leave these things with you for your life groups to talk about. One is God wants to use you to lead you directly, especially in the New Testament. He wants you to know what he's doing. He wants you to be able to hear his voice and do something. And he's given you leadership to confirm and coach and direct and guide. You have a call personally, and then you have a call within the body of Christ where you're fit and joined together. And leadership is like that coach that says, hey, you know, Dave, over here. Hey, Joe, right there. Get beside him. Ready. Get ready for the play. Go. And we make the play. And corporately, we become this one man that God is fitting together and joining together. Two is the church is mainly led. Oh, I've talked about this. God still uses leaders, those empowered by his call to be gifts to the body and challenge people face to face in the flesh. And I just thank God for Daniel Farias and what he shared, that whole word about step out in faith. This is what this message is about. It's like, get over your excuses. Stop criticizing, complaining. Look to Jesus and answer the call over your life. Step out in faith. Listen, I guarantee this. You will never have all your questions and all T's dotted, all I's dotted and T's crossed. When you are spoken to by God to step out, it's not a blind step of faith because you trust the nature of God. But when you step out in faith, you're not stepping out into the certainty. You're stepping out into a certainty of trust in God and what he's spoken you to do. And the fact that you can't mess up so that you become a casualty. Someone will be there. If your heart is submitted, leadership will catch you and say, wow, that was a bad fall, huh? Well, hey, let me see. I recommend this next time, man. You should talk to somebody before you do something crazy like that. So we would have told you, like, 12 feet to jump is a little tough before, you know, in your parkour training. Like, to start off with that, you should start off with maybe 4 to 6 feet. Start with that, you know? Come on, folks, let's just respond to God. Let's close this out in prayer. And let's come to a place where, you know, as I've been speaking, I know this. I know God's challenged your own heart. God's customizing this for you. Every one of us knows, what are those things that he's saying, come on, I want you to come to me, look to me. I want to be your God. I want to move in a powerful way through you. What's your excuse? Lay down those excuses. I'm not asking for behavior modification. I'm asking you to, like, say, God, come in and do something much different. Asking God to come in and do a work, do something fresh. Lord, I pray for all of us. I pray, Lord, that we would not follow in the way of the Israelites. That we would not grumble, complain, that we would not be even like Moses that offers up all kinds of excuses with our eyes on our own deficiencies. Moses was just entranced by the possibility of failure rather than trusting you and just stepping out and say, if I mess up, I mess up, but I gotta try. Father, I pray that this place would not be a place that focuses on failure, that focuses on mistakes. I pray that, Father, this place would be such a place of freedom and a place where we can step out and try, and if we fail, people are like, no, no problem. Brush yourself off. Come on. Keep going at it. You can't stop. You can't give up. You can't, like, throw in the towel. You got to go. You got to go. You got to get good at this. Practice, practice, practice. You're in a safe place. Father, train us in faith. Train us in faith with works. Train us to be a people who hear God and know God. Strip away every bit of human frailty. Strip away every bit of doubt and unbelief. Lord, strip away every place that we're still stuck in doubt and unbelief, looking at past failures or other people's failures and saying, oh, that must define who God is. Father, I pray that you'd let us see through your mind and see successes and reinforce our faith to try, to step out, to do what you call us to do. Strengthen people, Lord. I pray you breathe on them. Fresh fire, God. Fresh strength, Lord God, right now. Fresh courage. Fresh hunger. Fresh appetite for you, Lord God. I pray that this Sunday would stretch into the next week through Saturday. Encountering God every day. Encountering strengthening presence, his tangible presence. Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you for flooding people with answers to questions, revelation as they read the word. Unanswered questions would become answered. Be our God, Lord. Supersede, extend beyond all our incapabilities. Be with us, a resident presence of God, filling needs, answering questions, giving revelation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The prayer team, come up. And, you know, if you need prayer, come. We're going to be here to pray for you. If you need to leave, feel free. I've kept you so long today. I'm sorry. I'm glad. Got to apologize still. God bless you. Walk in his power this week. If you need prayer, come. Come and receive prayer. I thank you for every person here, Lord. I thank you for the living testimony that's in their hearts. Thank you, Father, for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that are there ready to spill out this week in divine encounters. Thank you, Father. Thank you for a spirit-led community, Father. Come on, just open your heart. Just exchange your heart with God, your thoughts. Receive from him.
If you need healing in your body, just say, Lord, could you touch that area right now? I need this. Let him strip it away. Let him take away those distractions, those energy drainers, that you can just give yourself to the Lord.